the deal signed into law Wednesday night to end the government shutdown could have devastating effects on Wisconsin's hemp and THC industries. It's Thursday, November 13th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Meta announces plans for a massive data center campus in Wisconsin. And some farmers are finding advantages in growing food under solar panels. Stay with us.
The largest source of funding for the WPR programs you enjoy comes from tens of thousands of individuals and families who contribute. You can hear your favorite program and discover new ones thanks to member support. Find out more at WPR.org.
President Donald Trump signed a bill to end the federal government shutdown last night. But as Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, a provision in the law could have huge effects on Wisconsin's THC industry.
Marijuana is illegal in Wisconsin, but there's a catch. A loophole in the federal farm bill passed years ago allowed for the sale of products derived from hemp, like vapes, gummies, or THC beverages. Now, a provision in the bill to reopen the government would close that loophole. Dylan Beyer co-owns Tree Huggers Cannabis. They're based in La Crosse and make THC drinks and edibles. And Beyer said that businesses like his are freaking out over the provision.
It would force us to close our doors because it would make all of the products that we sell non-compliant.
Hemp has been a growing industry in Wisconsin and the U.S. Critics say these low-dose products are dangerous and should be regulated or outlawed like any other form of marijuana. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin says the deal to end the shutdown leaves major health care issues unresolved. For more than a month, Democrats demanded enhanced health insurance credits be extended as part of any deal to reopen the government, but they were not included in the deal reached between 8 Senate Democrats and Republicans. Baldwin opposed that bill, and at a press conference Wednesday, she warned that though the shutdown will end, health care costs could double, triple, or more for 275,000 Wisconsinites.
Our work to lower health care costs for Wisconsin families is not done, and I'm surely not throwing in the towel.
Republican Senator Ron Johnson says he thinks Democrats made a mistake with their standoff for the credits because it highlighted what a, quote, miserable failure Obamacare has been. Social media giant Meta plans to invest more than $1 billion to build a data center campus in Beaver Dam. As Joe Schultz reports, they say it will create more than 1,000 construction jobs and 100 operational jobs when completed.
The Facebook parent company, along with city and state leaders, held a press conference to go public with the plan. The city signed a development agreement for the project nearly a year ago, but the company behind it wasn't officially disclosed until now. Brad Davis is with Meta. He says the company will match its energy usage with new renewables. It will also restore 100% of the water it uses to local watersheds.
We're excited to share that we'll be partnering with Ducks Unlimited and other organizations to restore 570 acres of wetlands and prairie surrounding our data center.
About a dozen protesters gathered outside the announcement to raise environmental and transparency concerns. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
New research shows the number of local governments turning to wheel taxes to fund road repairs has grown by 1,500% since 2010. The Wisconsin Policy Forum analysis shows 64 cities, counties, towns, and villages have enacted wheel taxes. There were just 4 in 2010. Researcher Mark Sommerhauser says inflation has driven up road building costs over the last 15 years. He says Wisconsin's gas tax has not changed in 20 years, and the state also has tight restrictions on when local governments can increase property taxes.
So we've seen a real shift there, and it really has put more fiscal pressure on these local communities to find new ways to fund their transportation projects.
By the end of this year, around half of all Wisconsinites will be paying the additional vehicle registration fees. Some Republican state lawmakers have introduced a bill to require voter referendums for new and existing registration fees. After the break, how some farmers are experimenting with agrivoltaics. Stay with us.
Thanks to community support, Wisconsin Public Radio continues to bring trusted news, lifelong learning, and stories that reflect who we are, free and accessible to all. WPR is powered by you. Visit WPR.org/together.
And finally, solar panels are becoming a more common sight across the Midwest, and some farmers are finding advantages in growing food under the panels. The practice is called agrivoltaics. KBIA's Jana Schleiss reports on how the technology is being deployed across the Midwest.
Shortly after 8 a.m. on an August morning, Linda Hetzel is clipping herbs, vegetables, and produce from the vines on her farm north of Kansas City.
Italian parsley, cutting celery, peppers. I'm trying peppers, which you normally think would be only in full sun.
Hetzel's peppers are growing in raised beds and are shaded by 18 solar panels hoisted more than 8 feet off the ground.
There's no blossom on it yet, but the plants look healthy.
This is Hetzel's first growing season experimenting with agrivoltaics. The solar array that powers her home also provides shade as she harvests produce in the Missouri heat.
In this heat, it's really bad. I have to get up at first light because by 10 o'clock, stuff wilts.
The potential for solar energy infrastructure to offer a respite from heat for farmers and the food they harvest has been studied over the last few years. While the jury is still out on whether solar energy can be married to the most typical types of farming in the Midwest, such as large-scale row crop production or raising cattle, small-scale produce farmers like Hetzel are finding success. Other farmers across the Midwest are asking whether agrivoltaics can solve another problem, access to land. Increasingly, small-scale farmers have trouble finding land near their metropolitan customers. It's something Kashua Berry thinks about a lot.
Every time I see land space, I'm like, food.
Berry is the farm director at Minnesota-based nonprofit The Food Group. The organization offers a variety of training programs for people who want to learn to grow organic food sustainably and sell them locally. Over the years, Berry has seen farmers ready to start their businesses only to be stymied by the same challenge, securing a stable place to grow food. Undeveloped land around the Twin Cities can be prohibitively expensive for beginning farmers, and renting leaves them susceptible to changing prices and lease terms. So Berry has taken to brainstorming creative ways to find land for emerging farmers.
My kids make fun of me because they're like, Mommy's probably just thinking about how many tomatoes or how many watermelons can we grow? I'm like, yes, you know me so well.
Berry and the Food Group have partnered with a solar developer to pilot long-term farming leases for the land within a solar array. The project's farmers get to use the space for free, and the solar company gets the land maintained, something Stacy Peterson says sheep are also especially good at.
These solar companies have created hundreds of thousands of acres that need to be managed across the country. And they need land management and vegetation management, and solar grazers are perfect for that.
Peterson is executive director of the American Solar Grazing Association, an organization working to connect solar developers with shepherds. Over the past few years, sheep grazing amid solar arrays have become an agrivoltaic success story. Whether agrivoltaics can suit other types of agriculture without decreasing productivity of the farm or the power plant is still being studied. But small-scale food farmers in Missouri and Minnesota hope the future is made in the shade. For KBIA News, I'm Jana Rose Schleiss.
And this story is being distributed by Harvest Public Media, a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including WPR. And of course, we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. Warmer today than the past few days, with highs getting into the 50s all across Wisconsin. Plenty of sunshine today as well, really light winds, and no rain expected. Still dry overnight, but cooler with lows down into the 20s and 30s. And that'll do it for this Thursday. Thank you so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. As always, have a great rest of your Thursday. We'll talk to you again soon.